Good morning. Good morning to my Blog Talk listeners and Running for Christ Ministries. It is Saturday and it's time to go to school. So let us open in prayer. Father, this morning we thank you because we do believe that you can do anything about everything. We know it because we see it in our lives every day. Lord, we thank you for being allowed to gather together. We thank you for keeping us. And as we sit here at this table, we just ask you feed us. We know that it's available. Let us take it in, digest it, and more importantly, let us use what you give us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to hear you all, and it's a nice, normal, crisp day here as opposed to sunny and 60. So let's get started in what we believe, not just knowing what we believe, but why, not just having information and facts that we can regurgitate, but understanding about this information that we have, and more importantly, understanding who our God is and what we've been called to do. And one of the things we've been called to do is be authentic, to actually reproduce essential features of someone. In other words, being conformed into the likeness of God's Son. And we know that authentic Christians tell the truth about that Son. So we've been going through the book of Acts, looking at the testimonies that were given from the witnesses to God's Son. And when we left off last week, we left off with our boy Philip, who had taken the gospel to Samaria and then gave it to an Ethiopian eunuch who took it back to his region. So we now that the great commission had actually early been fulfilled. One of the mistakes we make is thinking that everything is about our time. But actually, the gospel has been around the world many times. The good news. And so let's continue. We are picking up in Acts chapter 10. I hope you not only have your last week's sheet, but you've got the new sheet that came out, because we're going to move right through Acts chapter 10, and we're going to start at verses 24 through 29, if someone will read, and let's look at Peter's encounter in the Gentile region.
Okay. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." Talking with them, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?"
Okay. So first thing we're noticing here is, if you're familiar with the story, if you've been reading through Acts, Peter had this vision where the sheet was let down in front of him and he was told to take and eat, and in the sheet was all kinds of creepy crawly things for a Jew, which would be unclean. And it was done more than once to show Peter that the gospel was not just for Jews, it was for everyone, which I've already answered the question, number 12. What did Peter come to understand about the gospel?
That it was for everyone.
It's for everyone.
Not just Jews.
Yeah, it's not exclusive, it's inclusive. So here he is at Cornelius' house. And so now we're going to look at what he actually says, what message he gives when he enters this house full of Gentiles. Pick up reading from verses 34 through 48.
Okay. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. You see it to 49? We are witnesses of 48, I'm sorry. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of their sin through his name. While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
Okay. So what message did he share when he was at Cornelius' house? What are some of the things he said?
Well, you told them that you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who was under the power of the devil, because God was with him.
He said that God had appointed witnesses who saw Jesus raised after he was risen from the dead.
All right. Anything else? Let's look at verses 42 and 43. To kind of sum it up, really.
He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testified about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of their sin through his name.
All right. And who is him?
Jesus.
The Messiah, Jesus.
Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one. So he shared the truth about who?
Jesus. Christ.
Because authentic Christians do what?
Know
share the truth about Christ.
They tell the truth about Jesus. Yeah.
Amen.
They tell the truth about Jesus. I'm specifying it because we do. We live in a world nowadays, again, it's just because we live in this world. It's always been like this. The question is always about who is Jesus. And the people who are supposed to know him should be able to tell about him. But they should tell truth about Jesus, not Well, he was a, I saw one thing where he said, well, he was a Tibetan monk that lived during a certain time. Or it, no, he was the one that God anointed and appointed, and the one whose name and the only name that's been given, the truth about Jesus, not that he's a hater of people. All right, so we got this witness. So you got your new sheet you should have now.
Mm-hmm.
Where we still talk.
Well,
in the new sheet, we're going to pick up with another eyewitness to Jesus. We're going to pick up with our Apostle Paul. And we're going to Acts chapter 13. All right. And this is, of course, after, just for historical reference, you know, people will argue Saul, Paul, confusing. Paul is just the Greek name for Saul. You know, it's like Yaakov is the Hebrew name for Jacob. It's just where you live at, how they pronounce your name. So this is the same person. He's been converted. He's had his experience. He's now on his missionary journeys. And let's look at what he had to say about Jesus. Acts chapter 13. Somebody read verses 13 through 39.
All right. Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, but John left them and went back to Jerusalem. They continued their journey from Perga and reached Pisidian and Antioch. On the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, you can speak." Paul stood up and motioned with his hand and said, "Fellow Israelites, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our ancestors, made the people prosper during their stay in the land of Egypt, and led them out of it with a mighty arm. And for about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. This all took about 450 years. After this, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for kings, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. After removing him, he raised up David as their king and testified about him, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, to be a man after my own heart, who will carry out all my will.' From this man's descendants, as he promised, God brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus. Before him coming to public attention, John had previously proclaimed the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. Now, as John was completing his mission, he said, 'Why do you think, who do you think I am? I am not the one, but one is coming after me, and I am not worthy to untie the sandals on his feet.' Brothers and sisters, children of Abraham's race, and those among you who fear God, it is to us that the word of this salvation has been sent. Since the residents of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize him or the sayings of the prophets that are ready every Sabbath, they have fulfilled their words by condemning him. Though they found no grounds for the death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him killed. When they have carried out all that had been written about him, they took him down from the tree and put him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and he appeared for many days to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we ourselves proclaim to you the good news of the promise that was made to our ancestors. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the Psalm, in Second Psalm. You are my son. Today I have become your father. As to his raising him from the dead, never to return to decay, he has spoken in this way. I will give you the holy and sure promises of David. Therefore, he also says in other passages, you will not let your Holy One see decay. For David, after seeing God's purpose in his own generation, fell asleep, was buried with his father, and decayed. But the one God raised up did not decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brothers and sisters, that through this man, forgiveness of sin is being proclaimed to you. Everyone who believes is justified through him from everything that you could not be justified from through the law of Moses.
All right. Thank you. So now, here we have the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
What do we know about his background prior to his conversion?
That he was a Sanhedrin.
Okay.
That he was a leader.
And specifically, what group did he belong to?
Jews.
He was Jewish, but he even tells us later, and when he gives his, I want to say pedigree, so his
Benjamin.
He was from the tribe of Benjamin. Okay. But what did he say he was? A what of what?
Pharisees of Pharisees.
A Pharisee of Pharisees. So he was a Pharisee. He was part of Sanhedrin, mm-hmm. but he was a Pharisee specifically. So
okay.
he would be well-versed in what?
The law.
The law. And therefore he would know also the what of Israel.
History.
The history. And he just laid it out. So he's mm-hmm. authenticating himself as being not only a witness, but a witness of the law. So in other mm. words, it would be like if he's a lawyer, which the Pharisees, Sanhedrin, they basically were the legal governing body of Israel. He was a lawyer, and he's presenting a case. He would have to be, if you committed a crime, what kind of attorney would you need?
A criminal defense attorney.
You would need a criminal defense attorney. You wouldn't want to go to Jeffrey Figer if you needed to set a criminal case, because that's not the law he practices. So here
mm-hmm.
Paul is, being a Pharisee, he's laying down a case that he would be a professional in. He knows the law. And so as he's speaking, he's telling the truth about Jesus. He's, in other words, what good news is he preaching? I'll give you a kind of hint. It's got to do with Jesus being what?
Savior?
Okay,
Messiah.
But based Messiah, Savior, based on what? He's connecting Jesus to what?
The line of David.
The line of David. The law. Israel.
Hmm.
He's made the connection. You know, he's talked all the way through their history, all the way through
what
David.
They already knew about.
Yeah.
What they wrote.
He's speaking directly to an audience, and he would know because he's an expert in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great witness to put these things down. His conversion is profound because, again,
mm-hmm.
he would be, remember, these are the Pharisees. He was part of the group that put Jesus on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And then here, you know, when you've read about his conversion, well, Saul, why did thou persecute me? Why are you after my folk? You're persecuting me? Jesus, he's encountered Jesus, the one who he would know. Didn't we kill him? So this is he's an amazing, amazing witness. That's why I truly believe that God inspired him to write all these letters that we now call most of our New Testament. Okay. Anyway, back to our answer question. So according to verses 32 through 39, what good news did he preach? What did he preach about Jesus? That he was what? Besides from the line of David. Look at verse 37.
That he was raised.
He was raised from
what?
That
God raised him up from the dead.
Raised him from the dead. Who else preached that same message?
Stephen.
Stephen did? Who else?
Peter.
Peter. So it's a consistent message. Different folks with the same message. God raised Jesus from the dead. And then in verse 38, what did he say?
Forgiveness of your sins, that to Jesus, forgiveness of your sin is proclaimed to you.
In verse 39, you need to put them together.
Though through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified by the law of Moses.
So he's saying justification, the forgiveness of sins is through who?
Jesus
Christ. Jesus. Jesus. And it's for who?
Everyone
who believes.
Everyone who believes. Same message that who preached? Peter. The gospel is for
everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that salvation is found through who?
No other name but Jesus.
But Jesus. And then here Paul, because again, he's laying down that law connection, he says justification to be made right with God. Look at verse 39 carefully again. It says, through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. So what he was saying was, the law, we know, the law could not save you.
Mm-hmm.
Following the law did not save you. But what will save you?
Jesus.
Believing in Jesus.
Yep.
The good news. Because Paul is about to be kicked to the curb where he's going to have to go to shake the dust off his feet, and he's going to the Gentiles because the Jews don't want to hear from a professional of the law, a top scholar of the law, that's not going to save you. So remember, this authentic, telling the truth about Jesus. Salvation is found in nobody else but who?
Jesus.
All right, let's go to Acts chapter 14. I know I sound like I'm being repetitive, but we need to get there. The message is repetitive.
Yeah.
The same message.
Hmm.
Acts chapter 14. Somebody read verses 1 through 17.
At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went, as usual, into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among both Gentiles and Jews
together with their leaders to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the gospel. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy." Amen.
All right. Thank you. So, like I said, if you have been reading through Acts, read through Acts is kind of fun because there's a lot of action. There's a lot of exciting things that happen. You know, there's a lot of human interaction that goes on. But here we have Paul and Barnabas at this city. And they do some things. What did they do when they were in this region that brought attention to them?
They spoke effectively.
All right. And what else did they do?
And they healed the lame man.
So they performed miracles, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've seen this before, haven't we?
Yeah, at the beautiful gate.
At the beautiful gate, yeah. So, and we know that Jesus, they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came on. To be witnesses of who?
Jesus.
Okay, so I'm going somewhere here. Hold on. So, authentic, reproducing or essential features. In other words, if something is authentic, it's got to look like the original, right?
I agree.
So who did they look like?
They look like Jesus.
They look like Jesus.
Question.
Yes.
Okay, I'm thinking about the time frame now. All of this was happening not too long after Jesus had been crucified and went back to heaven, right?
That's right.
So a lot of these people that they're talking to right now might have saw Jesus been crucified.
True.
Yeah, okay. Because no, never tied all that together, too. Yeah.
These are current events.
Okay.
Within 2 years, it's not 50 years later. This would have been recent events. They would have read about it in their local newspapers. Because Josephus would be writing about these things. So they would know, yeah. But when they performed the miracle, what did the people call them?
Greek God.
Zeus and her, they attributed to the Greek gods because they live mm-hmm. in a polytheistic world. They believe in the other gods. But what good news was given to the people, specifically in verse 15? What does it say?
Friends, why are you doing this? We are merely human beings. We have come to bring you the good news that you should turn from these worthless things and turn to the living God.
Hmm.
All right. So this is the people who were used to worshiping, again, man-made, worthless idols. And he's telling them, no, don't follow worthless idols. This is your opportunity to turn to the true God, the living God. What did God, when God introduced himself to Moses, who did he call himself?
I am.
I am. The self-existing one. He identified himself away from every other God that had manifested at that time. Because remember, Moses lived in Egypt. Egypt had tons of gods. And so he distinguished himself. And so Paul is telling them that, no, the power of Zeus and Hermes, don't, we're not them. They're not living. They're not true gods. The true mm-hmm. and living God is the one who's done this miracle. And the good news is you can turn from them to him.
Ooh.
All right. So I'm helping us, because the other thing we are doing with this believe what, not just knowing what, but why, is we're developing how we have to talk to others.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have the same mission. It's not changed. But the problem is the mm-hmm. message has gotten muddled and lost of who we're supposed to be talking about. So that's why we're looking at the early church and what they did. All right. So the good news is turn from those worthless idols to the true and living God, the one who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything. You don't have to worship the sea God. You don't have to worship the land God, the sun God. You don't have to worship any of that, because why not worship the one who made all of it?
Amen.
All right. Let's go to one of my favorite chapters in Acts chapter 17. And we're going to pick up at Acts chapter mm-hmm. 17 and verse 16 through 32, when Paul is in Athens. Everybody likes to sit around and have big theological, philosophical conversations. Verses 16 through 32.
While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him into a meeting of Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he has not served, he is not served by human hands as he needed, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Where are we going to? Where do we stop at?
32.
32, I'm sorry, okay. Therefore, since we are God's offsprings, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all, people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Like I said, this is one of my favorite chapters in the book of Acts because of that whole thing about God determining when man, the God who created, determined when and where man should be born so that he would seek him. But the gem that's hidden in here is actually found in verse 31. So I ask the question, what day was set aside to judge the world with justice, and what proof was given that that day had come? Look at verse 31.
The fact that the Messiah would come and they would crucify him?
The man he appointed.
So what day was set aside to judge the world? We should know this because we went over the day of the Lord.
The crucifixion. And resurrection.
The crucifixion is the judgment. Remember? The sun and the moon didn't shine.
Mm-hmm.
The earth rocked and reeled. The grave, God's ultimate judgment on the world was when Jesus died. Because all of our sins were laid on him. Okay. So what was the proof given that the day had come? Somebody said it. What's the proof?
The fact that he was raised.
Resurrection. So I've been saying throughout this teaching that you know, we talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's essential. But do you see now we're getting a fuller picture of what that meant? It's not just words. He's died on the cross for my sins, buried, rose on the third day according to scripture. That's rhetoric. Why did Jesus have to die? Why did he have to be raised? What was going on? We have it here in verse 31. But God had determined that that was the day that he would judge the world for sin. And that the way that's good news, y'all. Because we look now, and you hear, especially with all the things that are going on in our world, that, you know, there's always judgment going on because we sin. There are consequences. The world is not the way it's supposed to be because Christ has not returned yet to set all things in order. So we see that. But as far as God is going to judge the world, he's already done it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Resurrection Day and the Day of the Lord and Judgment Day is all the same?
Mm-hmm. It was yes. It was the final. It was the final determination for sin. It was all. That's what it, it's what Isaiah waxed poetic about. All our iniquity is laid on Him, and the proof that it was finished. When Christ got up, Jesus was raised. That God was satisfied. Jesus was raised from the dead. Because one man was able to take on, to live a life, the perfect life, to be the perfect human, and that human could not stay dead because that human was perfect. I know it's kind of confusing. But I hope you can pull the pieces together to see, Holy Spirit, through His power, that this day God determined was the day of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we sing songs about Judgment Day. It already happened. There's no more remission for sin. There's no more payment. Well, what we think about is consequences of judgment. If you reject God, you reject Jesus, there's nothing left. Everybody okay?
Yes.
Yeah, soaking in.
Okay, I know. It's a lot, especially at this hour of the morning. All right. So, but you see Paul, you see, to hear Paul is, he's philosophy, you know. All philosophies are people just, I like what he was saying earlier when he kind of showed up at this place where all the philosophers stand around and talk and spend a lot of time, he said, spend a lot of time talking and listening to the latest ideas. Philosophy. That's philosophy. That's all it is ideas. We make it like it's such a big deal. It's just Facebook. X. People just spewing their opinions, what they think. They've read a couple books here. They've seen a couple stories here. They put it together, and then they develop a philosophy. This is what I think. That's philosophy. And the Greeks were known for it. We're very much known for it, where we just sit around and just talk about ideas. And Paul looks around, and he sees all these little gods. And then he sees this altar to the unknown God and goes, I want to talk about Him. And I'm not going to give you an idea. I'm going to give you some facts. And as Deacon said earlier, this would be current information about this God and what He did and when He judged the world through the one man, Jesus. But as you see, when that resurrection talk came up, some folks was like, they were like the Sadducees. We don't believe in that. No resurrection from the dead. But other people were like, he's made a convincing argument. We'll hear more of this. Paul is really showing us a way. He didn't come against what they believe, like that God is fake because, that God is fake because. He presented who his God was.
Amen.
Gently.
Gently. He didn't have to abuse, your religion is trash because he's like, let me explain who my God is. Let me tell you about who I worship.
And right now he's talking to so-called educated people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's for thinkers, deep thinkers, that sit around all day and think, and they hear somebody's idea and they go, well, that's a good idea. I think that's a good idea. I'll develop that idea. But now he's got their ear. Now, again, some of them rejected. Paul's not mad, but others said, hey, let's talk about this some more. We got to be willing to do that. Because there are some people who are going to say, I don't want to hear about your Jesus. I done heard enough. I've seen enough foolishness. I'm done with that. But there are other people who are like, you made a good point. hey, can we talk some more? And instead of being like, well, you know, we got this one time. You got to pray this prayer right now because you might die tonight. We should be understanding that God desires that none should perish. So if God, if they're listening, God can keep them alive long enough for them to hear. And we got to be willing to have another conversation and another conversation and another conversation and trust that the Holy Spirit will do what he does, convict them of sin, and lead them to want to come to him through Jesus. Okay. That's our mini sermonette for today. Let's go to Acts 26. Let's go to Acts 26 and somebody read verses 1 through 29 so we can finish up. Because next week we got to go to the next thing that authentic Christians do.
Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You may speak in your defense." So Paul, gesturing with his hand, started his defense. "I am fortunate, King Agrippa, that you are the one hearing my defense today against all these accusations made by the Jewish leaders. For I know you are an expert on all Jewish customs and controversies. Now please listen to me patiently. As the Jewish leaders are well aware, I was given a thorough Jewish training from my earliest childhood among my own people and in Jerusalem. If they would admit it, they know that I have been a member of the Pharisees, the strictest sect of our religion. Now I am on trial because of my hope in the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors. In fact, that is why the 12 tribes of Israel zealously worship God night and day, and they share the same hope I have. Yet, Your Majesty, they accuse me for having this hope. Why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus the Nazarene. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. Authorized by the leading priests, I caused many believers there to be sent to prison, and I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. Many times I had them punished in the synagogue to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in foreign cities. One day, I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priests. About noon, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will.' 'Who are you, Lord?' I asked. And the Lord replied, 'I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. Tell people that you have seen me, and tell them what I will show you in the future, and I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes, so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. And so, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God and prove they have changed by the good things they do. Some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this, and they tried to kill me. But God has protected me right up to this present time so I can testify to everyone from the least to the greatest. I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and be the first to rise from the dead, and in this way announce God's light to Jews and Gentiles alike. Suddenly Festus shouted, "Paul, you are insane. Too much study has made you crazy." But Paul replied, "I am not insane, most excellent Festus. What I am saying is the sober truth, and King Agrippa knows about these things. I speak boldly, for I am sure these events are all familiar to him, for they were not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Agrippa interrupted him, "Do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly?" Paul replied, "Whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these chains." Then the king,
all right,
the governor.
You can stop right there.
Amen.
Thank you. All right. It's a lot there. What did Paul just give King Agrippa? What did he just tell King Agrippa?
The good news.
Good news. What's the good news?
That salvation is available to everyone.
The forgiveness of sins.
Through who?
Through Jesus Christ.
And what did God do to do? What did God do to Jesus?
Raised him.
Raised him from the dead. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But in telling him that, what did Paul put in there?
The fact that King Agrippa should know this. He should have been expecting
that,
this to come.
How did he lead up to this? What did he tell him?
That he is a witness.
He's a witness. He gave him his own personal testimony.
Okay.
So he, by telling him of his personal encounter with the risen Christ, that's how he led up to it.
Paul did that every time he was talking to somebody. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Because this is important. We've seen okay. So we've seen throughout Peter, eyewitness, Stephen, the history of Israel. They've been, but here Paul is given a personal appeal. He's saying, "I've seen this Jesus. I was against this Jesus. I was chasing people from town to town to not preach in his name. And now I've encountered." He's given his, he's added to the good news how it was good news for him.
Okay.
So because of this, it was a more personal appeal. It wasn't just some cold call trying to convince somebody. It was why I am so passionate about this. And that's another piece that's missing, I believe, in a lot of our sharing with people the truth about Jesus. Why does this matter to you?
Yeah. Amen. You run into people that ask you what God has done for you.
Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Okay.
Yeah.
That's just, yeah, whatever. No.
Mm.
I was addicted.
Mm.
And he delivered me.
Come on. Amen.
I was so angry and bitter. I was a baby mama too.
Mm-hmm.
I was out there in those streets too, and he saved me. All right, we're out of time, but we'll pick up next week with the next authentic thing. And my sinuses will be through cutting up because the temperature's back to normal. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you because he loved us. He did what you asked him to do. He took our judgment and he took our place, and he has made us right with you. We want to be authentic. Help us to grow in our authenticity, to be more and more like him, so that the world can see and know who he is. We thank you. We praise you. In his name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Another great lesson, another great breaking down lesson. And Sister Janice, we just thank you and we appreciate you for all that you do. And have a beautiful day.
All right.
Okay, thank you. All right. It's time to get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, and crumpets. And after this song selection, we will start our morning worship service. Amen.
Wave your hands and declare. send the praise to Africa. Somebody send the praise to China.
Praise
open up your mouth.
Praise is what I do, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Run of a Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly. We ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Sister Deaconess Loretta Welch. Good morning, and thank you for being with us this morning. Sister Deaconess Loretta Welch.
I'm here. Sorry, I had the mute button on.
Okay, good deal.
I'm just talking, Kathy.
That's okay.
Good morning, Runner for Christ Ministries family. Good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners. Good morning, anybody that's new to the program this weekend. As she said, my name is Deaconess Loretta Welch, and I'm here to bring you the Why We Are Here proclamation, the morning scripture, and prayer for this day's service. Why We Are Here proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule. Our scripture for today is John 10, 1 through 10, and it's titled The Good Shepherd and His Sheep. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate will surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them. Till he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come, who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in the worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the words from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Loretta, for that proclamation scripture and prayer. You know, we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
And you do the same, Kathy.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yeah. Whom shall I be afraid? I will wait on you. I will wait on you, you, yes. I will trust in you. Yes, Lord, say, I will trust in you. Y'all help me, the Lord is my light. Everybody sing.
I will wait on you. confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We're going to get there because Jesus said, I'm coming back to get you. So that's guaranteed. Amen. But what about the land of the living? Right now, where we are. Well, the land of the dying on their way to living. But anyway, we will see the goodness of the Lord. You know, I'm reminded of those two people over there in Luke chapter 2. One was named Simeon, who had been told he wouldn't die until he saw the salvation of Israel. And one was named Anna, whose husband died after 7 years of marriage. And now she's 84, looking for the consolation of Israel. That means when God made that promise to them, every single day they kept their eye on the prize looking for the baby Jesus. And guess what? One day he showed up. Simeon took him and prophesied over it. So did Anna. Amen. They said, I will see the goodness of the Lord because the Lord said they would. And every day they woke up in expectation. Yeah, the days was normal. Yeah, the days was regular. Yes, they was filled up with this and filled up with that. But none of that could overcome them looking for Jesus. They was looking for the goodness of the Lord, the salvation of Israel, the salvation of the whole world. Amen. And they kept looking for it. No matter what happened, no matter what went on, they kept their eye on the prize. And guess what? They saw the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Simeon said, now I can close my eyes. I've seen the salvation of Israel. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Amen. There is no greater love than the love that God has had for us ever since Genesis 3:15.
Do you mind if I testify and tell you of the goodness of my Lord? Share some of what he's done for me, how he's opened up so many doors. You may look at me from the outside and think I got here on my own, but there's no way that you could ever know how much grace and mercy I've been shown. Oh, if you look into my eyes, you see life has tried to get the best of me. I know the giver of life personally. He's the reason that I sing his name, Jesus. I know this, 'cause he died for me and he rescued me. There's no greater love in the world. His name is Jesus, yet he loves me. And I know this, 'cause he said it to me when he rescued me. There's no greater love in the world. There's so many things I want to tell you of how he made a way for me. If he hadn't loved me through the mistakes that I made, I just don't know where I would be. Oh, he showed me so much favor, and now I understand all of the pain, all of the shame. I realize there is nothing that could take your place. Oh, if you look into my eyes, you will see life has truly tried to get the best of me. But I know the giver of life personally. He's the reason that I sing. Oh, Jesus. No greater love in this world. His name
Okay, altar call. Sorry about that, altar call.
No greater love, no greater love. Pastor, we just thank you. We thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Amen. This takes us the time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. So come to the altar with all your cares and your family. Because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own assistant, associate pastor, Terrence Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. So lift up the altar and prepare to see associate pastor Terrence Tate come in his own way with his prayer.
Say the name of Jesus. Say the name.
Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, first of all, we just thank you for the privilege to be able to say that name, Lord. We thank you for the privilege to know that you answer our prayer. Father, you said in Jeremiah 33:3, call on me in the time of need, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things that haven't been done yet. Father, there are some of your children who are listening to this broadcast today, who are dealing with things that the human mind can't comprehend. But Father, you already know what we are dealing with, even before we get into what we're dealing with. So we just come to you as a collective body, knowing that you will add the prayer according to Jeremiah 33:3. Father, you said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, you said, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God, through Christ Jesus for you. But before that, you said, pray without ceasing. And you also told us to rejoice in the middle of what we're going through, because you already know what we are going through as a collective body. You knew it. You have known what we would go through in this life for 2023 years, Father. You are the God who loves all. You are the God who sees all. You are the God who hears all. So, Father, there is nothing that we go through that you don't know about. And we are so glad to be able to bring our request to you, because you said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, you said, my prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, you told us to make our request known to you. Father, you've answered prayers even when we don't even, you answer prayer even when we don't know how you are going to answer prayer. Father, we thank you for the people that you put us around. Father, some of your children that are listening to the broadcast today are grieving the loss of a loved one. But Father, you said in Psalm chapter 147, verse 3, you are the God that heals the brokenhearted, and you bind up every wound. You, Father, you know what it's like to lose a loved one. You know what it's like to go through periods of sadness. So, Father, we just lay our hearts on the altar, because you will heal the hearts of, you will heal the brokenhearted, you will bind up their wounds. You said in Psalm chapter 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Father, you told us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I urge you therefore, brethren, to present your body as living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to you. Father, you also said in verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, you told us not to conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we can know what your good, pleasing, and perfect will is for our life. Father, help us as a collective body line our will up with your amazing will. Because, Father, you said in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, you said that, for I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, plans to give you hope and peace, and plans not to harm you. Father, we thank you for knowing the plans that you have for us, even before we ask you what you want us to do. Father, I just ask that you move the messenger out of the way and say and use her in the way that you want to use her, so that the body of Christ will be blessed, edified, and encouraged. Father, it is in your precious and holy name that I pray this prayer. Amen and amen.
And sometimes
good place to slip up those hands and give him some praise. Oh, I can't get no help in here. That's a good place to bless him. Listen to the words.
See your day. Even when the sun is up, yes it is. And from the top of your lungs, you shall. Oh. Can I tell you one thing? Remember, just know he has his hand. He has his hand.
He has his
hand. Yes, he does.
He said,
I'll see you through. And when you cry, he's holding you. So just He will provide. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Just know he has his hands on. Sometimes you feel so alone, like a child lost and no home. They keep telling you
Just know he has his hands on you. Power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you and have a wonderful day. Amen. I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiles today. Enjoy, share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen? Amen. All right. Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. So the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing following this next selection is Sister Minister Michelle Anderson, founder of First Fruit Living Ministries, that good old-fashioned street love, free lunch and prayer, and a member of Word of Faith International Christian Center. So prepare to receive Minister Michelle Anderson as she comes in her own way with the word from the Lord. Let's receive her with a warm and open, loving heart. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! For all my life you have been faithful. Oh, yes you have. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, the goodness of God.
Of God. Oh my goodness. That song just makes you just want to get on your knees and just praise him. Glory to God. Praise him. It goes up to our Father as a sweet fragrance. Hallelujah. Oh, it's a beautiful day in the Lord. Good morning, Pastor Overall, Sister Sheila, and the Runner for Christ Church family. What an honor, what a privilege it is to be selected to preach the good news to you this morning. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for this opportunity. Now, while I'm sharing the message, if you'd like to learn more about me and my ministry, you can go to my website at www.freeluncheandprayer.org and learn more about First Fruits Living Ministry. Let's go to the throne in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up our hands and minds, giving complete allegiance to you, from which cometh our help, and the one who loved us first. We give you praise, glory, and honor, and ask for your holy presence to be in this message. Holy Spirit, speak through my lips. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my strength and redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, and we all say, amen. You know, every morning I have a praise chant I say to God when I get out of my bed. I say, I get to praise you. I get to thank you. I get to tell the whole world about you. I do that as I'm running to the bathroom. Amen. When we wake up, we all have something we immediately think of, whether it's work-related, family-related. I got to let the dog out. I got to read my Bible. I've got to do my workout. Whatever it is, you're thinking of something. But today, I'd like to encourage you to think about taking a praise break all through your day. Psalm 55 and 17 in the King James Version says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. In the Passion Version for that same scripture, it says, every evening I will explain my need to him. Every morning I will move my soul toward him. Every waking hour I will worship only him, and he will hear and respond to my cry. Praise break will help you to learn to praise God through the good and the bad. You see, you can't do anything about that diagnosis, but you can praise him. You can't do anything about those layoffs, but you can praise him. You can't do anything about that negative bank account, but you can praise him. And you can't make that person change, but you can praise him. What's the old cliche? Don't focus on what you can't do, but focus on what you can do. You can praise him. When praise becomes a habit or a priority, it'll become a weapon of faith to how you handle every situation in your life. You're not praising God hoping he'll be the God you need in good and bad. You're praising him for what he's done and what you're believing him to do in the present and the future. When God sees your first response of praise and faith to handling the good and the bad, God will respond by making life one you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Because your praise is strengthening you to deal with life's good and bad. Praise him and give the good and bad over to your Father. The title of today's message is Take a Praise Break. When was the last time you took a praise break? When you weren't in church, I mean, you just stopped, lifted your hands, and opened your mouth and said, I love you, Lord. I praise you. I thank you for being such a good father. Thank you for waking me this morning. Thank you. I don't know how I'm going to get through this situation, but I'm going to praise you no matter what. Hallelujah. Did you know that hallelujah is the highest praise? Well, you know it now. Let it come out of your mouth. Let it come out of your mouth. Now, does my saying this make you uncomfortable? Because you aren't there yet. You're not ready to just praise him by yourself. What if God responded to your prayer, I'm not ready yet? Selah, pause and think on that. Let's go to our Bible story to learn of someone who praised God despite being in a bad situation. I'm going to the book of Acts, chapter 16. I'm going to be in the King James Version, and I'm going to do 16 through 31, but I'm going to give you a backdrop of verses 16 through 24. So Paul and Silas are Jews traveling through Philippi. They are approached by a damsel possessed with a spirit of divination who profits her masters much money. So the things she does for him makes them a lot of money. And Paul spoke to the evil spirit inside of her, and it came out in the name of Jesus. Her masters were upset and had Paul and Silas brought to the marketplace in front of the rulers. The rulers and the multitude rose up against them by beating and throwing them into prison. Now I'm going to read verses 25 through 31. And at midnight, at what time? Midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. The word of the Lord. So Paul and Silas sang praises to God in their midnight hour. When? In their midnight hour. Do you give praise to God in your midnight hour, your midnight day, your midnight situation? Thinking about it all the time anyway. Now I'm suggesting you praise him when you think of that midnight situation. Paul and Silas were in prison when the earthquake broke open the doors for all in chains. What happened? Their praise went up to God as a weapon of faith. And God did what? Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. That's what happened to Paul and Silas. And that's what taking a praise break at your midnight hour would do for you. And let's not forget that last scripture, verse 31, says that the keeper of the, when he believed on Jesus, he and his house would be saved. Your family needs to hear you praising God. Just like Brother Tate, he's praising God. His father probably praised God in front of him. I know he did. And now generations are going to the Lord because their father praise God. Grandfather, Tate, all of them. It's just a continual thing. Glory to God. Start praising in your house, in the good and in the bad. Many of you don't know this, but I have my degree in business administration with a major in marketing. And God told me to choose marketing because I would market to the world, market Jesus to the world. And I know you're thinking, what? Market Jesus? Well, everybody markets something. They market Taco Bell, bottled water, weed. I am marketing Jesus. I'm going to the world to tell everybody he's alive. Hallelujah. And he's coming back. Glory to God. And in the meantime, take a praise break. Amen. One of the marketing theories we're taught is called WIIFM. What's in it for me? And so each time you have a marketing situation, always have to give them something that they believe they have to have. Janet Jackson says, what have you done for me lately? I started reflecting on what's in it for you and I to praise God and why we should take a praise break. This is what the Holy Spirit had me write down. God is invested in you so much so that his word says, I have given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. And he had me start writing down what he's made available to each of us as human beings and specifically for those who receive Jesus. Get ready. This is going to amaze you because you already know it, but when you start hearing it, you're just going to know God is always in your corner. Glory to God. You may hear some music in the background. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, that's the Bible. Then the Word was made flesh, that's Jesus. And he gave us salvation, which is forgiveness of our sins. He gave us the Holy Spirit, which shows us things to come and guides and directs our path. He gave us the fruit of the Spirit, and that means we can handle things in this life. We have love, peace, joy. We can have long suffering with those coworkers that get on our nerves. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. He gave us each our own heavenly language, which is praying in tongues. He daily loads us with benefits, which is healing of our diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. And your youth is renewed like the eagles. Are you getting excited and ready to praise him? Well, I got more. He gives you power to get wealth. He teaches you to profit. He'll supply all your needs according to his riches in glory, just when you need it. Not when you want it, but when you need it. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He gives each person a measure of faith. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You'll have favor with God and man. He'll place a hedge of protection around you and your family. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And Jesus' name is a name above every name. It's above cancer, Alzheimer's, high cholesterol. You name it, he's above it. So to answer Janet Jackson, that's what he's done for you lately. Hallelujah. Who wouldn't want to praise a God like that? Can Buddha do any of those things? Can Allah heal all diseases? He gave you everything pertaining to life and godliness. There are too many reasons to praise him. God is worthy to be praised. Come on, family. Take a moment and take a praise break with me. Hallelujah. Glory to your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to your holy name. I give you praise and glory today and always. I get to praise you. I get to thank you. I get to tell the whole world about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Historically in the Bible, Daniel praised God 3 times a day. He praised him in the good times. He praised him in the bad times. 3 times a day, he would get on his knees and pray and praise God and give thanks. Wigglesworth, a great man of God who was known for waking up and praising and dancing before the Lord for the first 10 to 15 minutes of his day. There's something about praising God throughout your day intentionally that just sets precedence that no matter what's going on, good or bad, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to thank you. I'm going to tell the whole world about you. Psalms 34 and 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Family, nobody should know what a Christian is going through. They should never know you're going through anything. Your life should be a life of praise and thanksgiving. At the beginning of this message, I shared how I say a praise chant. Throughout the day, I set my alarm for 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. I have to change it on certain days, like on church day. I have to change it from 2 o'clock to, like, change that one so it doesn't go off during service. But I intentionally praise the Lord at those times. Sometimes I add a dance or jump up in the air and do a swing around. Sometimes I just kneel before him. But the key thing is I do it intentionally. The best part is when I pick up my granddaughter, London, from Latchkey, and she hears the 5 p.m. alarm, and she knows what that means. We're standing in aisle 11 at Walmart or Kroger, and she looks at me, and our eyes lock, and she has that look on her face like, please, Grandma, please don't do it. My feet start moving. I do it right there, standing in place, and then she joins me. And we say underneath our breath quietly, Father, I love you. I give you praise and glory. Praise you right now in this grocery store. What am I doing? I'm teaching her how to take a praise break. I'm teaching her that God should be praised at all times. All times. I'm having trouble here. Not just in church. Hallelujah. My bishop says, that faith is where the will of God is known. And now you know that what's in it for you is to praise him because he's giving you everything pertaining to this life and how to live it in godliness. He's giving you the word of God, Jesus. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance to help you in this life. You've got a heavenly language. You've got loads of benefits. It's just too much. He's just a too much God. Hallelujah. He's just a too much God. And you know what? I hear a song coming up in my spirit. And I know I don't know all the words, and I don't remember know where it's coming from, but I'm just going to say what I remember. I love to praise him. I love to praise his name. I love to praise him. I love to praise his name. I love to. I'm going to stop right there. I don't know if I can hit that note right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In conclusion, in a few days, we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving. What's in it for you is to praise and thank him, saying he's provided for you. Runner for Christ family, when you wake up, I want you to start thinking about intentionally setting time throughout your day to take a praise break. Our Father in heaven will hear your praise as a weapon of faith and send his angels down to deliver you and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To Shelley, encouraging you today to take a praise break. Hallelujah. 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 Well, family, that ends this week's power message. And I hope it was a blessing to you. But we can't leave without offering you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're ready, repeat after me. Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I'm so sorry. I want to receive your son, Jesus, as my Lord. Come into my heart now. I believe he died, rose again, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's in heaven, and now I have a place in heaven because I confess Jesus as my Lord. I am saved. An invitation for you. This is to rededicate your life to Christ. This is for those who have walked away from the things of God. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you received Jesus at some point and you need to come back to him wholeheartedly right now. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If that's you, you pray underneath your breath, you confess anything to him, and I'll pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you for all those listening who are rededicating their lives to you according to 1 John 1:9. We believe, Father, that they are coming back to you wholeheartedly, cleansing them of all their sins. And right now they are in good standing with you, Father God. And we believe you have removed the and made them in right standing with you. They have been made righteous in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your holy name. Do you hear that bell? It's just for you, those who received Jesus for the first time and those who rededicated their lives. And right now, there are angels in heaven giving glory to God just for what you did. Hallelujah. You see, there's going to be praising here on earth, and it's going to be praising when we go to heaven. Hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and close out in prayer. I hope this is okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message you prepared for your beloved Runner for Christ Church family listeners. I pray they not be hearers only, but doers. I pray the Lord bless you, that his face shine on you, turns his face toward you, and give you peace as only he can. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray and we all say, amen. Hallelujah. Remember, take a praise break. It'll benefit you and your family. God bless you. I love you. Thank you.
Wow. My goodness. We had church today, y'all. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I just feel like, first of all, that last song, Total Praise, I just feel like we were, like, in the physical church building right now, and our awesome praise team was singing that song. So I don't know what Pastor Janice got planned for tomorrow, but I'm going to need them to slide that in tomorrow. I feel like I need a live version of this song tomorrow. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. This service from beginning to end has been amazing. Talk about needing to take a praise break. Look, if y'all can see me right now, Minister Shelley has got to be the only person outside of Pastor Janice Tate that is brave enough to sing on the radio, okay? And sound good, too. The rest of us would not even try it. I know Pastor O has tried before. I've even sang, you know, some songs before. But my goodness gracious, she's the only one that's brave enough to do it. I am outdone today. Today has been absolutely amazing. I got my hands on 50 different things today, working and trying to do stuff and listen to service, and I had to take a break. I had to take a praise break. That's what we need to do continuously throughout the day, is take the time to just be like, whew, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise your name. You are worthy, because what that does is that grounds us, that centers us. You know, sometimes we float off like balloons. We ain't attached to nothing. We just floating around sometimes. The wind is blowing up. The waves are blowing up. We just floating around. But in order for us to ground ourselves, we have to go back to basics, and we have to take the time to honor the Lord, to give him praise, to acknowledge him, and to let him know that we are taking the time to acknowledge who he is and what he does and who he is to each and every single one of us. Talk about something to take, not just from today, but to apply it to your every single moment life. Amen. What an awesome, awesome word. Minister Shelley, we thank you so much. I think we have like our own in-house Joel Osteen. I think Minister Shelley is our own in-house Joel Osteen, because she gives us encouragement. We get like serenaded by her. Amen. We just get an awesome, awesome word and awesome, wonderful things from Minister Shelley. So again, we are so thankful for you today. Thank you for the word that you brought to us. Thank you for the time that you take to bring these messages, not only to us, but also in your Street Love ministry. We are grateful in the lives that you are touching. You're going to get your check in heaven. Amen. Amen. So good morning again, everybody. Happy Saturday. It is the third Saturday in the month of November. Time is marching on, but it's okay because God is good and we are grateful. Amen. So just by way of your announcement, tomorrow, Sunday, November 19th, we are back at home in our church building. Amen. That's our home. We belong there. That's our house. Amen. So 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse. Sunday school begins at 9 a.m. taught by Pastor Janice Tate. Our worship service begins at 10 a.m. With our praise team ushering us straight to the front porch of Jesus. Amen. If I'm not mistaken, I think Pastor O is bringing the word tomorrow, but it doesn't matter who's preaching. Just come to church. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, every Tuesday, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, we have our Bible class. You need the book for the class. Everyone should know that by now. If you want to participate, again, go to our church website, rfcm.org, and get a book. If you don't have one, just click on the Bible classes tab, and you'll be able to purchase the book. Amen. Make sure to read your assignment before the class, and the questions are at the end of each chapter for the discussion. This week, Deacon Charles Tate will be teaching the lesson entitled A Rebuke from the Lord. Amen. So make sure to tune in for that. Also, every Friday, 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family. Make sure to join in on the discussion about our kids. Amen. So one is a kind of a new announcement, and then two, like, new announcements, okay? So one, speaking of Minister Lachelle Anderson, she's got a Blog Talk Radio show, amen, and it is entitled Street Love, entitled Street Love. So this happens on Mondays at 6:30 p.m. On, you know, it's a Blog Talk radio show, again, entitled Street Love, Mondays at 6:30. So the call-in number is area code 515-605-9735. Again, the call-in for Street Love on Mondays at 6:30 is 515-605-9735. And again, the preacher/teacher is Minister LaShelle Anderson. So for more information on this, you can get all this that I just read out to you on our church website at rfcm.org/Christian Resources, and you can get this information and set yourself a reminder to tune in to Minister LaShelle Anderson and her Street Love Blog Talk radio show on Mondays at 6:30. Amen. Also, as a kind of new announcement, but like not really because I've been saying it for the last couple weeks, but if you haven't listened before today, it's definitely going to be new to you. Amen. So beginning on Monday, November 27th, at 6 o'clock, we will have a new Bible class here on Blog Talk Radio entitled Biblical Giving, and it is going to be taught from Pastor O's book entitled Biblical Giving. Amen. So you need a book for the class. The free window of books has been closed, okay? We have nailed that shut. We put the plastic up on the window. At this point, if you need a book, they will need to be purchased, okay? So go to our church website, rfcm.org, or to Pastor O's website, Pastor GMO, Pastor God's My Owner, GMO.com, and make your purchase for the Biblical Giving book that you do need for the class that begins on Monday, November 27th on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. Pastor has sent out the questions, I believe it was earlier last week, and it had to be because I read this announcement last week. So make sure to check your email. Class starts in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So be there or be square. Amen. That was so cheesy, but y'all know what's up. Be in class. Amen. So now as a for real new announcement, WCA Parent Activity Council presents Pastors, Prayer, and Pancakes. Now, I don't know about you, but all three of them things go together. Amen. I am going to listen to Jesus as long as pancakes are involved, okay? So just join us for prayer, fellowship, and pancakes, amen, at Westside Christian Academy on Thursday, December 7th from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. And if I'm not mistaken, this is where Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, amen, is a teacher. I know she loves her job. She is an awesome fifth grade teacher. So I know this is where she's at, and this is one of the activities that they're having at her school. So the address is 9540. It's either Bramell or Bramell, B-R-A-M-E-L-L Street in Detroit. Again, 9540, B as in boy, R-A, M as in money, E-L-L Street in Detroit, 48239. Please RSVP by November 30th if you would like to be in attendance. And then you can also visit the website, Westside, W-E, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, S as in Sam, I-Z as in dog, E, C as in cat, A.org/breakfast, okay, for more information. So westsideca.org/breakfast for more info. So again, the Pastors Prayer and Pancakes Fellowship is happening at Westside Christian Academy, in Detroit on December the 7th from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. You need to RSVP by November 30th. I do have a flyer on my phone. There is like a QR code on there. So if you want to participate, and all the information I gave you today was a bit too much, just see me and I'll make sure that you can either take a picture of it, or I can text it to you, or maybe the QR code would work and you'll be able to do what you need to do. Amen. Amen. So please remember that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Every single one of them, y'all, every single one, all the way back to 2009 when it was only Pastor O and his nerves on here talking about child support is how it all started off, okay? And now here we are all of these years later, and you've got a whole bunch of people on here that if Pastor O was absent, y'all might not even notice it because we got this on lock, amen? So everything that we do here is recorded, archived, and free. We all love free things, amen? And this is for real free. Like, you ain't got to go on our church website, and then you get like three or four free links, and then like your fifth link is, hey, you've maxed out all of your links. You got to put your credit card number in to get more information. Nope. Everything on our website is completely and totally free. Amen. RFCM.org. Go on there. There's classes, services, jobs, books, resources, and more, again, available all for free. The jobs and the resources are updated on a frequent basis, and I go on there, tell my clients about the website. There are jobs, and when I say there are jobs for days, okay, days and days and days. There is a ton of stuff on there. So use the information for what you need it for, and if you don't need it, just share it with someone else. I mean, you never know who you're blessing by not keeping that information to yourself. Amen? So if you would like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, again, church website, rfcm.org, just click on the tithes and offerings tab. If you would like to give a love offering to Minister Shelley, Minister Lachelle Anderson, who brought your praise break message to you today, amen, just go to our church website, click on tithes and offerings, and then in her case, Minister Shelley has, I believe there's a cash app there. So if you just go under tithes and offerings and then click on preacher offerings, I believe there is one there for Minister Shelley. So if you want to show your love through her cash app, you can. If not, you're more than welcome to do it through our church website, again, rfcm.org. Just click on tithes and offerings and just make sure that you are specifying that your love offering belongs to Minister Lachelle Anderson, and we will make sure that she receives it. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with her on today. Amen. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Amen. Now, if that doesn't deserve a praise break, I don't know what does. Amen. Amen. So we would like to ask that you continue to please pray for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Amen. So continue to pray for Doris and Nakia Gaither, all of our mothers on the move at Running for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, Mother Cheryl, and Mother Persia. Continue to pray for Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks as well as Nico Gaston. Please continue to pray for Melanie and her dad, baby Jedediah and his mom Micah, as well as his father Anthony. Continue to pray for Darius Freeman and his mother Keela, Ed Johnson and Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, Elder Joseph Stevens and his family, all caregivers, nurses, doctors, and those who serve in the medical field, those who are in nursing homes, long-term care facilities, hospice care, again, all the teachers, students, staff, administrators, of all ages, grade levels, it doesn't matter. All of our leaders in our communities from local all the way to Washington, our president, our vice president, continue to pray for all of your pastors and those who shepherd you. Continue to pray that they follow Christ and you follow them as they are following Christ. Amen. And also continue to pray for all who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving. Amen. And so the holidays are upon us. We are here. Thanksgiving is next week. It literally was just like January 1st. And then it just seemed like my calendar just skipped like 10 months, and now it's Thanksgiving. But the holidays are here. We all need to take the time to stop and think about others and what they may have going on or what they may be going through this time of year. You know, some people are missing friends and loved ones. Some people are lonely and alone. Some people have no hope and they're suffering from depression. We need to be kind. We need to be caring. We need to be courteous to everyone. But most of all, we need to treat everyone with grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness, which is the same way our Lord Jesus Christ deals with us. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 12 says, to love one another as I have loved you. And we know how much the Lord loves us. He died on the cross for our sins while we were still sinning, okay? We have a Savior. He is risen, so we Jesus ain't still in the grave, and we just waiting on him. No, okay? 3 days, that thing was a wrap. And he is seated on the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for all of us all of the time. So he deserves praise break all day long. Amen. So just remember to treat others not how they treat you, but how you want to be treated. Amen. As a bereavement announcement, continue to pray for my son and his family and the loss of his grandmother. They just funeralized her last week. He took that one pretty hard. He's usually pretty strong, and he felt some kind of way about that one. So continue to lift him and his family up in prayer. Also continue to pray for Deaconess Lisa and her family, especially her mom and the loss of her niece. Also please pray for Deaconess Mary Tate and the rest of the family and the loss of her sister. We know she has been on our prayer list for quite some time, but the Lord has called her home, and so no time is a good time to lose your loved one, but especially not around the holidays. It just seems to hit a little bit harder. So please continue to pray for Deaconess Mary Tate and her family. The arrangements are income time, but again, please continue to pray for her and her family as they make preparations. Amen? Amen. So on a lighter note, happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated their birthday this past week, if they celebrated at all this month. Amen. So happy birthday to London. She celebrated her birthday on the 3rd. Tamika celebrated her birthday on the 6th. Noah celebrated his birthday on the 11th. Jackson, my rock star, okay, he celebrated his birthday on the 17th. Destiny celebrates her birthday on the 21st. Sincere celebrates her birthday on the 23rd. And Reese, don't tell nobody. Y'all that I told y'all Reese's birthday, because she don't want nobody to know. And if y'all know and y'all tell her happy birthday, she gonna ask you how you knew. Don't rat me out, okay? But she'll be celebrating her birthday on the 29th of this month. Amen? So happy birthday to each and every one of you. Amen? So lastly is your devotional for today, and it is entitled, Does Prayer Really Make a Difference? Does prayer really make a difference? Amen. This is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. You all know what's up with his devotionals. I love them, and that's why I read them. Amen. So it reads as follows. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. So have you seen people on social media get angry when Christians extend their prayers to a horrific situation? Whether it be a senseless mass shooting or some other kind of barbaric evil, a seemingly growing number of people respond negatively to the, quote, thoughts and prayers on behalf of those so adversely affected. Evidently, these upset people see prayer as an ineffective use of time and effort. If the prayers are more akin to platitudes, I would agree with the naysayers. But save your breath. Those insipid, meaningless prayers do nothing to help the situation. However, if someone prays in the power of the Holy Spirit from a heart of humility and contrition, C-O-N-T-R-I-T-I-O-N, a contrite heart. Y'all, go look it up. Go Google that, okay? Those prayers can move mountains, and God is waiting on you and me to call upon him. James tells us, you have not because you ask not, and that's James chapter 4, verse 2. God is waiting on us. The famous passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is an if-then scenario. If God's people will do what we can do, then God will do only what he can do. You see, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is a conditional promise. If we don't meet the conditions, we won't see the wonderful and miraculous answers we desire to see, which is God hearing our prayer, forgiving our sins, and healing our land. So what is the Lord calling us to do? Number one, humble ourselves and pray. Humility and prayer go hand in hand. One telltale sign of pride in your life and in mine is the absence of prayer. A prideful person does not realize how desperately he or she needs the Lord, not just every hour, but every second of every hour. A posture of prayer is often done on our knees as a symbol of our rightful humility before the King of Kings. Number two, seek his face. This is a key component of this verse. We are not seeking his hand. We are not, excuse me, to seek his hand, but we are to seek his face. What's the difference? When we seek his hand, we are looking for his blessings and what he can do. When we seek his face, however, we are seeking him. We desire his presence and his will, not our will. We are telling him that his nearness is the ultimate goal of our prayer. And number three, turn from our wicked ways. No doubt that the need of the hour for the people of God is to get right with him. We must take our secret sins that we have hidden in the dark corners of our heart, our lust, our greed, our bitterness, our selfishness, idolatry, pride, jealousy, etc., 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 and bring them to the light. If we will confess them and agree with God that they are indeed sinful and wrong, he will be faithful to forgive them, all of them, every single one of them. Amen. So obviously y'all know that's one of our favorite verses that runs for Christ's ministry, 1 John 1:9. Amen. So remember this important sentence. God will not do what you can do. And he cannot do, wait, let me read this again. God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what he can do. There we go. Make that clear. God won't do what you can do, and he's not going to do what he can't do. Y'all got it. if we will do this part of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, then God will be faithful to do exactly what he has promised. He will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. Amen. The ball is in your court and in mine. So the question is, what will we do with it? Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen.
And stuff.
And many sermons. Many Bible class.
And things. All of
them. Wait a minute, Crystal. Wait a minute. I got to take a praise break. Uh-oh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Amen.
Yeah,
praise
you know what
Lord.
I'm praise breaking about? Having all this awesome help.
Amen. Okay.
Definitely
worthy
to the preacher. All this awesome
yes.
help. Praise break
yes.
time.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. You know what? I get up every single morning, and the first thing I do is pray and give thanks to God, okay, while I'm yet lying in the bed. And then I get up and do the rest of my morning, and the first thing I do is turn on some praise and worship music. And so the first part of the day is spent praising, thanking, and worshiping God. I do that every single day. And it doesn't make stuff not happen, amen, but it keeps the stuff from happening to me, amen. I can be of good cheer because Jesus done already gave me the power I need. See, that's all God gave us as a weapon. You heard her keep saying weapon, right? He's given us his word. I've sent my word to heal the people. So if you got a problem, amen, use the word. Demons,
amen.
The devil and them demons cannot stand it. Amen. When we use God's word, because they can't defeat it. And all we have to do, like Job was ignorant about a whole lot of things because he was a Genesis character, right? He didn't have no whole Bible. We got a whole Bible. But Job used the little bit he had. And he didn't stand off some demon that worked for Satan, okay? But he got Satan. Yeah, Job, who didn't have as much knowledge about God as we have, a clear revelation like we got. But he told the devil up.
Amen.
The devil, not
amen.
Some
beat
little
him down.
Silly demon. Amen.
Hey, amen.
Woo, like them. Amen. Anyway, she got me kind
of.
I want to preach. But anyway.
I know.
Thank you,
all
Crystal.
Of us do.
I know. You know, you get turned all up like that. You
yes.
got everybody turned up taking praise breaks. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory
amen.
To God.
Glory to God. Amen.
Glory to God.
Real.
Amen.
That ain't that's all the
no,
time.
That's real.
That ain't,
it's
that's,
real.
That's
yes.
real. It's real. It's 100.
Amen.
I'm telling
amen.
You. Okay, Crystal. Amen. Thank you. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Tell Mira I say what's up.
You got it. I sure will.
All righty. Amen. Again, we thank God for each and every one of you who tune in. Hey, coming up this Wednesday on the 22nd, First Fruit Living Ministries and Runner for Christ partnering with them, we'll be out in front of the church doing the giveaway, prayer, leading people to Christ, rededicating people to Christ. All that's going to be happening this Wednesday on the 22nd. If you want to come and help set up, it's at 10 a.m. It's the day before Thanksgiving. If we don't do nothing else this year to help other people, at least on this day, let's come out. Amen. Pray for some folks. Lead folks to Christ. Rededicate folks. Help somebody in or outside the body of Christ. Y'all hear me say that all the time. What Jesus wants us to do is lead somebody to him, teach them once they're in him, right, and then help somebody in or outside the body of Christ. You know, that's Matthew 28, right, 18 through 20. And Galatians 6:10, as often as you have opportunity, let us do good to how many? To all. And especially to those who are the house of God, right, our brothers and sisters in Christ. So that means in or outside the body, we got to help them. That is the real love of God, and that's why our ministry is so encapsulated by this phrase, street love. Amen? Street love. You heard me yesterday on Deaconess Kathy Clyburn's show, Bring Back the Family, talk about the church need to go back out into the community. It's all right if we have concerts and conferences and all this other stuff we do for us. But sooner or later, we're going to have to go out into the highways and hedges and start compelling folks to come in. A church is supposed to be a disciple-making machine. But we've turned into a breakthrough blessing for Christians machine. Yeah, God's going to do all that stuff that we hear about. But what about what Jesus said? You shall be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, your near surroundings, in Judea, your community, your state and nation, right? And then you go on to the Samaritans, the places and people we don't even like to hang around. Then Jesus said, when you get done with all that, and y'all know we ain't even evangelized our own house, so we ain't done. He said, well, if you manage to get done with that, then take it to the world. That's what we do here on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. And that's what he called us to do, y'all. So sooner or later, we're going to have to start doing that. And a good way to do that, see Wednesday. Come out and help set up 10 o'clock. 11 to 1 is the giveaway. Amen. We're giving away offers to be a Christian. We're giving away rededications to Christ. We're giving away food, lunches, and whatever else we have. If you got an extra turkey, bring one by. We'll give that away. Bless somebody to have a Thanksgiving that ain't going to have one. Put, like Deaconess Kathy Clyburn always say, be the reason somebody smiled today. Hey, I'm preaching. I better quit. Amen. Yeah, my wife just agreed. I want to thank Pastor Janice Tate for the awesome church school. I want to thank Deaconess Kathy Clyburn for getting together Deaconess Loretta Welch and Pastor Terrence Tate to bring us the proclamation scripture and opening prayer and altar call. I want to thank the preacher, Dr. Lachelle Anderson. Lord have mercy. She took that passage of scripture, treated it like a wet rag, and just squeezed all the words she could get out of it. Amen. I think I need to take a praise break. I'm going to be saying that all week long. I think I need to take a praise break, especially when I'm sitting in a Philippian jail kind of situation. I'm preaching again. Amen. Here I go again. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Amen. We'll see you when we see you. Let me go ahead and read this. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all until we meet again. And the whole church said, amen.
Hey, in the midst of, now look, to all my church folks, what I want you to do is I want you to play this real, real loud in your car. Make them think you listening to some secular stuff.
Don't you really feel like praising?
Why come?
Jesus is so amazing. Responsible for great things. Jesus is so amazing. Working hard, trying to get money. So much drama always around me. I'm going up, so how could you doubt me? I wanna be free. Check to check, payday to payday. Praying every day to find me a new way.
way, struggle gon' come, but faithful I will stay, cause I believe.
What you gon' do?
One, I'ma try a little bit harder, two, focus on pleasing you, and try to make a change before I leave.
Okay.